Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our program. We gather Christians and patriots from across America and also from other parts of the world to pray for America. And I thank you for joining us. Let us know where you're from. Let us know your comments, questions, and also prayer intentions. Let us know how we can pray for you during this time, because as we pray for our country, that includes praying for one another. As you know, during this program, which is co-produced by Priests for Life and Right Side Broadcasting Network, and we're grateful to our partners there, we delve into the Word of God, we intercede, we conduct biblical patriotic education, and sometimes we do that by means of talking with one of our friends or colleagues in the pro-life or conservative movement. And today we're privileged to have a very special guest. This is someone who prays for America, who loves America, who serves America in so many different ways. I'm talking about Gary Bauer, president of American Values, joining us from Washington, D.C. Gary, great to have you with us today.
Father, it's great to be with you. I've been looking forward to this conversation, and I can say with certainty this is the highlight of the day. It's probably going to go downhill from here.
Well, thank you so much. I want to, for our viewers that may not know as much about you, you were a presidential candidate, of course, and we want to talk a little bit about what that was like for you, but you served under President Ronald Reagan as Undersecretary of Education. And you also served for a time as president of the Family Research Council. And now, of course, as I mentioned, American Values, which we want to know more about as well. So we'll get into a conversation about that and so much more about what's facing America today. And always look forward to your insights on these things. But as always, I'd like to begin with a scripture. And this is from the first book of Samuel. It sets the tone for our considerations about America. Samuel is in dialogue with the Lord about the people's request for a king. And so in chapter 8, starting with verse 6, we read, "Samuel was displeased when they asked for a king to judge them. He prayed to the Lord, however, who said in answer, 'Grant the people's every request. It is not you they reject, they are rejecting me as their king. As they treated me constantly from the day I brought them up from Egypt to this day, deserting me and worshiping strange gods, so do they treat you too. Now grant their request, but at the same time warn them solemnly and inform them of the rights of the king who will rule them.'" And then a couple of chapters later, in chapter 12, we read this starting with verse 13. This is a warning to the people and to the king. "Now you have the king you want, a king the Lord has given you. If you fear the Lord and worship him, if you are obedient to him and do not rebel against the Lord's command, if both you and the king who rules over you follow the Lord your God, well and good. But if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his command, the Lord will deal severely with you and your king and destroy you." Let us pray. Father, we come before you today as people who love you and love our country. Lord God, we acknowledge the blessings that you have given to us, and we affirm the authority that you set over us, both in the religious and the civic arenas. Lord, we thank you for all authority is established by you, and we are ready to be good and faithful citizens, both of your heavenly kingdom and of our beloved nation. We ask you, Lord, that every law, every policy, every decision made by human authority will conform to and respect the authority and law that you have established. Lord God, we know that your law is higher than any human law, And our founders knew it too. We thank you that we can be good citizens and good disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. Continue to keep us faithful. Continue to keep us strong and to enable all our fellow citizens both to understand and to follow the path of discipleship. We ask this in the name of the only Lord, the only Savior, the only hope of humanity, the King of kings and Lord of every nation, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So, Gary, thanks again for being with us. Tell us, first of all, the experience that you had under President Ronald Reagan. I mean, obviously, he continues to be such an inspiration for so many people, and you must have countless stories from your service of his administration. In a nutshell, what was that like?
Father, it was incredible. I first heard Reagan speak when I was a teenager, and he gave that speech on behalf of Barry Goldwater that became so famous. And I turned to my father at the time and I said, Dad, I don't think Goldwater is going to win, but this guy Reagan, he's going to be president someday, and I'm going to work for him in the White House. And my father looked at me and said, Gary, you're nuts. Well, many years later, my father was able to visit me in my office in the West Wing. And he asked me if I remembered that day in our living room. And I said I did vaguely. And he said, what a country, Gary, where Spike Bauer, the janitor's son, can end up working for the president of the United States. And I responded, well, what a God we worship, Dad, that could open the doors to allow me to do that. Reagan was exactly what everybody saw when they watched him, even if they hadn't met him. He was genuine. He was adamantly pro-life. I saw many examples of that. He once got angry with me when I quoted a poll to him. I was doing that to make a case for a particular issue. And he looked over at me and he said, Gary, don't ever quote a poll to me. You come in here and tell me the best thing to do, and that's how we'll proceed. I never forgot that exchange between the president and myself.
Yeah, wow. It shows his spirit. And, I remember similar kinds of stories from Judge Bill Clark, who, of course, served in the administration as well and became a friend of mine over the years. The president was, as you say, so deeply pro-life. In fact, I remember a story you told me about. What was that incident where you saw him really react quite emotionally to the issue?
Yes, President Reagan had tried to protect a newborn child that had been born with some birth defects, and the effort failed. But we found out later that another couple carrying a child that they had been told might have some severe medical issues watched what President Reagan tried to do in the other case, and were so convicted by it that they decided to go on and bring their child to full term. And the child ended up being born completely normal. But in any case, I had the opportunity to share that story with the president at a lunch. And I'm sitting across the table from the arguably the most powerful man in the world. And I could tell he was emotionally moved, and a tear literally formed in his eye and rolled down his cheek. And I remember thinking at the time, here is this powerful man with so many lives in his hand, ultimately, and yet he could be brought to tears by the news that one single baby had been brought into this wonderful country because of something he had done indirectly. And it was a very moving moment. I think it's probably the image I will take to the grave about him, that he could shed a tear about a single baby.
And isn't that the reaction of someone who realizes that the value even of one life is really beyond calculation, beyond compare? It is
absolutely
truly inestimable. And our founders believed that too, didn't they? And that's why, you know, on this program, we pray for America out of the conviction that it is, as I believe President Reagan was the one who always compared the biblical image of the shining city on a hill Wasn't it he who I know you repeat that yes. frequently as well.
Yes, I do. I've stolen a lot for President Reagan because so much of it is true. But Father, you're exactly right. I mean, the founders were very well-read men. They knew a lot about Roman and Greek political philosophy. But on the way to Constitution Hall, they had read the Bible, and it was in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that they found the central ideas of our republic, including that liberty comes from God, not from government, yes. and that we're all made in the image of God. And so what that means in reality is that everywhere America's gone, the idea has gone with us that everybody has been made in the image of God. And because of that, we have dignity, value, and worth. It doesn't matter whether you're a newborn with Down syndrome or a 95-year-old with senility, you were made in the image of God. And that is a revolutionary idea.
And this reality of freedom that the founders knew so well how to articulate and then construct into a form of government, didn't President Reagan also point out, this isn't passed on, what was the quote? It isn't passed on in the bloodstream. It has to be defended in every generation. It's never more than one generation from being lost.
That's exactly right. And I think you probably agree. In fact, I know you do, that one of the things we're suffering from is that we have a whole lot of young Americans who, because of the failures of our educational system, are inclined to believe that the wonderful life we all experience in America is the natural order of things. It's not. Freedom is always under pressure, always in danger, and each generation has to win it anew and protect it anew. And this was one of the main things, by the way, that Reagan said to the American people in his farewell address, which he did on TV in the closing days of his presidency. He said to the American people he was worried that America's youth were not being taught what previous generations of Americans had been taught in the schools and at the dinner table and in the neighborhood. And I think, sadly, we're seeing the results of not teaching the rising generation those things today in the very troubling news we see every night on our TV set.
Exactly. And I want to talk to you about some of the particulars of that. But first, having worked for someone like President Reagan, I can understand how that would inspire you to one day become a presidential candidate yourself. Tell us in a nutshell, what was that experience like? I remember following that day by day and seeing, of course, what you and all the candidates were saying. That was back in 2000, wasn't it?
It was, yes. I want to assure your listeners and viewers that I wasn't delusional. I mean, I knew I was the longest of long shots, but there are a number of things that I felt that only running in those primaries would give me the platform to talk about. And one of those was the sanctity of life and my desire for the Republican Party to be much more serious about that. And over the years, I think they have been. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is the rising threat of communist China, interestingly. I watched, rewatched the other day one of the debates, presidential debates, and former President George W. Bush and I had quite a heated exchange about trade with China. I was against it and he was for it. And I kind of feel like time has proven me right. But it was a remarkable experience. I got to travel all over the country and talk to just countless people. And Father, I have to tell you that even though I did lose and lose badly, I actually felt better about America after the experience because the American people, by and large, of all races, all backgrounds, are good and decent people. They love America. They love God for the most part. And I still think with all of our troubles, we still have a country that wants the right things to be done and deserves better leadership than they often have.
Exactly. For those that are just joining us, friends, we are talking with Gary Bauer, president of American Values, and he is a highly respected conservative leader in America, and really someone that we can learn so much from. And Gary, you know, that I wanted to ask you, you know, sometimes people might feel like it's a hyperbole, like it's just being extreme to say the Democrats today are destroying America. You just made reference to the fact, you know, we need strong leadership, and we sometimes don't have it. And it seems now, I mean, many people are saying it's not just a matter of weak leadership, or some people will use the word incompetent, but that we actually have people who are destroying America. People in leadership who should be preserving it and growing it are destroying it. Is that an exaggeration to say? And if not, why not?
Yeah, you know, politics is a venue that often has exaggerations. And that's unfortunate, because then when you really get into a fix, and I believe we're really in a fix, the rhetoric may sound like, well, it's just the old rhetoric. Look, I know a lot. I mean, there are millions of Democrats who love God and are pro-life and love America and so forth. But the leadership of the Democrat Party and the rising power in the Democrat Party and the progressive wing is very secular, tends to be hostile to religious liberty as we understand it, is vehemently pro-abortion, as we just saw recently, when every Democrat in the House of Representatives, except for one, essentially voted for abortion on demand. And they want to take America in a direction that I believe will literally destroy the country. Many of us probably remember that in the end of the Obama-Biden administration, for crying out loud, they were going after the little sisters of the poor, trying to get them to bow to the abortion culture. And, you know, I speak mostly to evangelical audiences, but I always say to them, look, if you don't know the little sisters of the poor, they're little sisters and they try to help the poor. And yet the entire weight of our powerful Department of Justice was brought down on their heads. That's just outrageous. And quite frankly, if Donald Trump hadn't filled three Supreme Court vacancies, we would see President Biden doing the exact same thing now and getting away with it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, sometimes some of our viewers on my programs have asked me, oh, why do you have that picture of President Trump behind you? You know, and I said to them over the years that we too were caught up in that case against the HHS mandate, and they were trying to impose fines and penalties for if we didn't violate our faith in the process. And so I said, you know what, if he weren't where he is, we wouldn't be where we are. It would have put ministries out of existence had the Trump administration not ultimately lifted that mandate. So we do face the destruction of so many of the things we believe in. Now, President Trump, I understand, appointed you to be a member of the International Commission on Religious Liberty. Now, Gary, is that still in effect? Are you still in that position?
No, my term, unfortunately, I was on the commission for 3 years. He appointed me to finish a one-year term of somebody else, and then he appointed me to an additional 2 years. It was quite an experience, I must say, but yes. I was proud to be his appointee.
So what does that commission do, and what were some of the things you learned in that role of service about how these kinds of freedoms are threatened around the world?
Right. So the commission only dealt with religious liberty on an international stage. So we weren't permitted to get involved in all the challenges to religious liberty here in the United States. But we did look at countries all over the world, and we would rank those countries. We would identify those countries that we thought were the biggest threats to religious liberty. And we would call them out. We would recommend various sanctions and things that could be done to try to get those countries to, quite frankly, come into the modern world And I noticed the pattern, Father, that the worst offenders of religious liberty in the world fell into one of two categories. They were either godless communist countries like North Korea or communist China, or they were radical Islamic countries. And it was in those countries that religious pluralism, religious liberty was absolutely stomped out. And we've seen that, of course, in the Middle East, which was the birthplace of Christianity. And we've watched, sadly, as there's almost, I think I would have to call it a genocide, a slow motion genocide taking place throughout the Middle East against Christianity, whether it's the Coptic Christians in Egypt or the many different types of Christianity that exist in the Middle East. And of course, we see in the case of communist China, they have declared war on all faith. They see any faith, no matter what kind of faith it is, as a threat, as a challenge to godless communism. So we're facing those challenges all over the world. And it's one of the reasons the American people have to rededicate themselves to preserving religious liberty here in the United States.
You know, Gary, there was a story that I've talked about on this program, but I have to tell you, it was a story I had to keep going back to make sure I was seeing it right. Let me ask you about it. It has to do with communist China. It was about an order from the Chinese communist government that pictures or crucifixes or pictures of Jesus in people's homes, yes, had to be taken down and replaced with an image of the communist ruler. Is that true?
That is true. And it got very little attention here in the United States. It should have gotten a lot of attention. And this is what happens under communism. I mean, the president, the so-called of communist China, Xi, is adamantly opposed to any kind of religious belief. He's persecuting Muslims, which gets a lot of attention, which is totally unacceptable and inappropriate. But what gets very little attention of what he's doing to the Christian church in communist China, that they're ordering the churches to take the cross down off the churches. They've tried to browbeat pastors and priests into running their sermons past the Chinese communist government before they deliver those sermons. And I don't see how any church can agree to do that. Right. And in many of the churches, the communist Chinese have put facial recognition technology in the front of the churches so that if you're a parishioner and you walk into worship, your image is being captured and then run past these supercomputers so that the Chinese communist government will know who it is among their population who is walking into a church and worshiping God and worshiping Jesus Christ.
This is one of those things where you just have to sit in silence and try to absorb it. It's amazing the things that are happening. And of course, disturbing signs in America of, as you said before, there's this godless element of the progressive left that seems to control the Democrat Party now, moving in that same direction. But I've also related on this program many times, and I'd like to have your comments on it, the amazing, really groundbreaking things that President Donald Trump, when he was in office, did for religious freedom internationally. Of course, that's the commission that you served on. He really took some historic steps, didn't he? And I know he had some executive orders, too, that were dealing with things like training Americans who work abroad to be sensitive, how to be sensitive to signs of the repression of religious freedom. And I mean, he funded all kinds of efforts to really take this seriously and take a clear stand, didn't he?
He really did, Father. And of course, you were part of that effort. I mean, we were fortunate enough, while we didn't have official positions inside the Trump-Pence administration, We were given a lot of access, and we had a chance regularly to talk to the president about the sanctity of life and religious liberty. And the president understood that the United States has a lot of leverage. You know, we give out a lot of foreign aid. Many countries depend on our trade with them. And the president told Secretary of State Pompeo, he told the Treasury Department, he told many other parts of the American government, look, you use the leverage the United States has to browbeat these countries that were denying religious liberty around the world and make it clear to them that they're going to pay a price when they do that. We often put sanctions on individuals in these countries that were implementing the persecution. So it got very personal. You know, if you were one of these people following these unjust orders to crack down on churches, well, don't think you were going to turn around then and have investments in the United States. We would prevent you from doing that. In fact, some of these officials had to be worried that if they came to the United States, they would be arrested for violations of human rights. So he was, and I say this as somebody that loved Ronald Reagan, and Reagan was great on these issues, but no modern American president, I would say no president in history, did more to use the weight and power of the United States to protect religious liberty and to specifically zero in to stop the persecution of Christians around the world.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. We really felt so affirmed. In fact, I told you privately, and I'll say it publicly, I as a Catholic priest, have never gotten more encouragement to carry out my mission freely, unhindered, speak my mind as my convictions are that the Lord has told me to do. I've gotten more encouragement, let me put it this way, I've gotten more encouragement to do all that from President Donald J. Trump than from any Catholic bishop or any other religious leader. It's been amazing. He put that front and center. He told America we need to hear the voice of the church, and he did everything in his power to make sure that that voice continues unhindered. So thanks for your role in all of that and in on all these issues. I want to invite you, Gary, to pray with me now for a few moments and with all our viewers. We pray for America as we pray about these different issues, as we pray for strong leadership, as we pray in thanksgiving for presidents like Ronald Reagan and Donald J. Trump, and as we look with confidence to the future, as we pray for our elections. There are elections this year, of course, and then the midterms next year. Let's pray on all these things. I'll offer a brief prayer. I'll invite you to pray, excuse me, and then we'll do the Lord's Prayer together.
Fantastic.
Father, thank you for this time of discussion. Thank you for the understanding that you give us about not only what our nation is and how it was founded, but about both the progress and also the threats that we are living through today. We ask your blessing upon all our fellow citizens, and Lord, give us the wisdom and the ability to pass on to our children, to our grandchildren, to all of our fellow citizens, the wisdom that experience has brought, and even more importantly, the wisdom that your word brings to all of these circumstances. Bless America, bless our future, bless our leaders, and bless us as faithful citizens of America and of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we do ask your blessings on America, but we also want to be worthy of those blessings. And we know that America can't fully be a shining city upon a hill until it has made sure that all of our children are welcomed into the world, protected by the law, and have a seat at the table. And so, Father God, we pray that we would find the courage to continue to lead America back to the sanctity of life. Father, our children are your creation, every one of them. You knit them in the womb. We want to be a great nation, but to be a great nation, we have to protect and defend your innocent babies. And so, Father God, help us to have the wisdom and the courage not to vote for any candidate if that candidate won't stand for the sanctity of life. And Lord, give us the courage in the weeks and months ahead to fight the good fight in the hope that someday we will stand before you at the throne and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. And friends, may I invite all of you to join us now in saying the Lord's Prayer. And as we do so, we lift up all of your intentions too that you've been leaving in the comments. Feel free to continue to do so. And we ask God's blessings on you and your families. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. So, Gary, on these programs, we always give people an action item, and I want to urge them, and I'll have you tell us how they can do this, to subscribe to your end of day update. It's an email that you send out from American Values, and I'm not exaggerating it here at all. I never miss one. I read it when it comes in, and I often use the insights that you give in those updates for my own commentary on programs like this, and frequently refer people back to that resource. So how can they get a hold of that each day?
Father, thank you for saying that. You're an intellectual giant on these issues. So for you to say that about my report means a lot. They can go to ouramericanvalues.org, ouramericanvalues.org, and sign up there. And I look forward to your faithful following, perhaps subscribing. There's no cost for it. And I would certainly love to have them join.
Yeah, friends, it really is such a valuable resource. I mean, you know what it is, Gary? It's like a lens on the news of the day that, you know, gets people, you know, yelling at their TV set or worse. But a lens that just gives the, you know, the facts. Here's really what's happening, but insights about what's happening that they're likely not to hear on, at least on the major fake news media, as it's so often called. So, but Gary, thanks so much for this conversation, for the prayers, and for your insights. Always good to talk to you.
Great to talk with you. I'm proud to be on the same team with you.
We'll see you soon. And thank you all, brothers and sisters, for tuning in. Please spread the word about these programs and make sure to connect with us on social media. Fr. Frank Pavone is my address on the major social media platforms, and connect also with Right Side Broadcasting at RSB Network. God bless you. Be assured of our prayers. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.